With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Well, hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick Extra. The FA Cup is done. It's now time to focus on the league. I'm Ben Hughes, and coming up in the show, we'll be previewing this weekend's fixtures with the lovely Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. We'll be hearing from the chairman of Frickle Athletic about their superb start to the season, and we'll be reminiscing about those FA Cup matches with the ever-so-dynamic James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. But before all of that, it's over to Ben with the news. Over to you, Ben. Thanks, Ben, and we start this week's news with the news that Blyth Spartans are looking forward to boosting their work in the community after signing a new shirt sponsorship deal this season. Thanks to the financial stability offered by the three-year partnership agreement they signed last month with Arch, that's a Northumberland development company, officials at the Premier Division leaders say they'll be able to strengthen their activities on and off the field at Croft Park. Elsewhere, former Tamworth and Atherstone manager Dale Belford was named a successor to Gary Mills at Division 1 Southside Rugby Town on Wednesday. Belford was in charge of the Lambs on a permanent basis for 16 months up until September 2014. However, rookie boss Mills tendered his resignation following a disappointing start to the season, which saw the club just win one of their opening seven league games in Division 1 South. In other appointment news, Clitheroe have unveiled Tony Alverston as their new commercial director. Alverston held a similar post to Oswald Twistle St Mary's and brings a wealth of experience to Shawbridge after four decades working in the commercial sector. And finally, the Northern Premier League flag bearers in the FA Cup have started running the rule over their next opponents in the world's oldest cup competition. After collecting £3,000 as first qualifying round winners, clubs will pick up another £4,500 in prize money for winning the ties, which are due to be played over the weekend of Saturday the 26th of September. The standout ties include a trip for First Division North Witton Albion to last year's MPL champions FC United, while Frick Athletic travelled to the champions before FC United, Chorley. So for more on this fixture against Chorley and everything else related to Frickley Athletic, we're now joined by the chairman, no less. It's Gareth Dando. Hello, Gareth. How are you?
Hi, Ben. I'm fine. Thanks. Yourself?
Not so bad, thank you. But you must feel better. This has been a great start to the season, hasn't it?
It's been good. Yeah, we've done well. Obviously, it's still very, very early days and there's a long way to go. But yeah, it's nice to be up there. And doing so well, it's a good reward for all the supporters who, you know, stick with us through thick and thin, and a reward for the people who work behind the scenes as well.
Now, a lot of so-called idiotic football pundits, mainly on this show, actually, have suggested pretty much every season we've done this podcast that Frickle Athletic are going to struggle this year. What's been the secret this season?
I don't think there's any one thing, Ben. I mean, obviously we have struggled, there's no doubt about it. The facts speak for themselves. Generally, that's down to budget. I think this season we've certainly benefited from a bit of continuity in terms of the players that we've kept, especially on the back four. We've added to that, we've got a phenomenal goalkeeper, Seb Mokowski, ex-Polish international, who's been unbelievable, to be honest. We've added a lot of quality in midfield as well. We lost over summer two of what we believe are the best strikers in the league, in Gav Allat, who gets 30 every year, Reece Thompson, who's obviously doing very well now for York City in the league. And understandably, people would say, well, yeah, you're going to struggle if you lose those two. You take 45, 50 goals out the side, you're going to struggle. But, you know, we've replaced them with now four or five players who are different players. We're playing in a different way. When you've got Reece and Gav up front, you obviously play to those strengths, and we haven't got those, and we're having to adapt. We've now got a lot of pace in the side, and it's nice to see the goals have been spread around. And we're doing well. But like I say, it's early days. There's a long way to go yet.
And we should one of our idiotic pundits did suggest that with Alec going, as you said, the goals will be spread around and there'll be more opportunities for other players to shine.
Maybe he's not so idiotic.
Exactly. He is, to be fair. But that's essentially what's happened in these first couple of months.
Yeah. I mean, Gav is a great player. And you know, no disrespect to Shaw Lane, who are a level below us, are doing quite well. But Gav could play quite easily National League, quite easily, I would have thought. We've now got players who have, you know, played at that level. We've got the St Kitts and Nevis International Strike Force up front in Zeph Thomas and Jake Hazel. So I don't know what we're going to do when the international break comes. We might be asking for a postponement. We've got pace out wide on both sides. You know, we've got young lads breaking through from the academy as well, in Brad Doherty, who's interested in Barnsley. So, you know, things are being spread around. Luke Kinsley's converted to central midfield and he's playing there like he's played there all his career. And we've got a young lad who was recently released by Leeds, and Simon Lenegan, who's clearly a very, very classy player and adapting well.
We'll cover off this weekend's fixtures very shortly, but congratulations on the win against Maltby Main. And you've been rewarded with a trip to Victory Park, our old friends at Chorley. What do you think?
I don't know about rewarded. I mean, it's the cup. You can get anybody. You know, we had a good game against our near neighbours Maltby in a game that, you know, we should have won and we did. It was a potential banana skin and we came through fairly comfortably, to be honest. Yeah, on paper, Chorley looks tough, but it looked tough when we went there 3 years ago. We were bottom of the league and hadn't won, and we beat them 3-1. They've obviously done very well, really impressed over the past few years, and they've always impressed me as a very, very well-organised, solid, hard-working side. But there's no pressure on us. We can go there. The pressure's on them. You know, they've not done too well at home this year. I know they're seventh, but the home form's not been that great. And we'll go there and we'll play, and anything we get out of that game is a bonus.
This weekend, obviously, we've got Hales Owen for Frickley. What do you think for that one? That sounds like a tough game to me.
They're all tough. I mean, there's always a couple of sides that generally are head and shoulders above. You know, you look at this year, we've been at Darlington and we were well beaten. We were beaten early, first game of the season, by Matlock, but, you know, we were 1-0 up with 4 minutes to go in that game. Salford will obviously do well, and Blythe. Beyond that, really, it's about consistency. And I think, you know, on their day, anybody can beat anybody. You need to be on your game. You need to be playing well and have the right attitude. It's gone well for us since the first two games. Hills Owen are no mugs. I know they're struggling a little bit at the moment, but they won in the cup on Saturday. Got a very experienced manager. You know, they'll be coming and looking to kickstart their season, but we need to keep it going. You know, we've got Hills Owen Saturday, Rush All Away is a very long trip on a Tuesday, and then obviously we've got the cup as well Saturday. So it's a relentless time of the season. We just need to keep it going, keep the ball moving.
And off the pitch, more generally, the last time I went up to Frickley, there was a lot more development going on around the town and stuff. What's the hopes for the club going forward?
Well, we've got a new clubhouse which will be completed by January, February time. That's obviously going to make the place a little bit more welcoming, and will it be able to be used by all members of the community and local football teams as well. There'll be access to the pitches, which are on the old pit tip. So that should bring a lot more people up and get the place used a lot more. We managed to secure about 400 seats from the London Aquatic Centre. So we now have sparkling tip-up seats in the main stand as opposed to the wooden benches. And you're right, yeah, the surrounding area is massively improved. There's huge housing estates going up, being built by the likes of Waits and Keepmost, etc. So there are a lot more people moving up there, and hopefully we can benefit from that.
I can't believe you got rid of the wooden benches.
Rid of them all. If you need something from your garden, Ben, then feel free to put in a bed.
Before this interview ended, I was about to say, and you've got one of the best stands in non-league. But, you know. You know, okay.
Well, at some point, I mean, you know, at some point, you know, obviously you're going to need to improve your facilities. And yeah, that stand's a fantastic stand. you know, you've got to balance up keeping character in your ground with moving forward a little bit. We were given an opportunity and we took it.
I'm just one of those traditionalists, that's all.
I agree completely. I'd rather be at a ground like ours or Chorley or somewhere like that than somewhere soulless.
As long as you keep the pie and peas, that's fine.
The pie, peas and gravy will be there, don't
exactly.
worry.
Frickley Athletic Chairman Gareth Dando, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. Much appreciated, mate.
No problem. Take care, then.
Well, thank you, Ben, there for the news, but it's now time for the proper news, the on-the-pitch stuff, the stuff that makes you go, oh, did that actually happen? Well, the FA Cup first qualifying round did actually happen, and to say what actually did happen, it's now time to cross over to our Yes, It Did Happen correspondent. It's James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group. Hello, James, how are you?
Evening, Ben. How are you doing tonight?
The best intro to anyone ever. I'm well happy with that. Anyway, I'm fine, and I'm even happier now. So, this past weekend, there was a series of FA Cup matches. We're recording this on Wednesday evening. We don't know the result between Guysborough Town and Ashton United, as well as Whitby Town versus Salford City, which, as we proved last week, a prediction we got right was going to go to a replay. And there's the replay, but we don't know the result. I'm just going to go through this list, James, and if anything pops out, just say. Ready?
Yeah, no worries. I'm ready.
Okay. The good news is that naturally this bit of the show about the FA Cup gets shorter and shorter as the year goes on. So that's good news. Bamber Bridge 4, Goole AFC 2. Bamber Bridge slowly starting to pick themselves up now after a shaky start due to injuries and stuff.
I was going to say the original title was supposed to be in a proper cracker as well. Obviously going 2-2 in the Goole's place.
You quite rightly point out, by the way, these are the replays from Tuesday. We're going to cover them off first and then we'll do Saturdays. Deeping Rangers 4, Leek Town 2. I don't think Leek are going to be happy with that one.
Definitely not.
At the same time, a team quite fancied from Division 1 South, Newcastle Town. They got beat by Coal Hill Town by 3-1. Better result. Russia Olympic 4, Shepshed Dynamo 1. Alex Reid there with a hat-trick. Skelmersdale United 2, Glossop North End 1. Congratulations, though, to Glossop North End. We suggested that one would go to replay. It did go to replay, and they nearly did it, didn't they? 93rd minute, Skelmersdale United got the winner. I'm assuming that was that was during extra time. It is after extra time as well. So they took it to extra time, and unlucky Glossop. But it shows that they're quite capable.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was, the replay was supposed to be in the Greg Hall show. I was watching the Twitter feed on Tuesday night, obviously seeing what was going on, and naturally, all I was seeing was Greg Hall keeping Glossop in the game there. So Skelmersdale didn't exactly just hold back that match, so even more credit to Glossop for that one.
One for the, our league's better people. Stamford 2, Leamington 1. Just to say, in another life, I do the Southern League show, and Leamington are doing very well in that league. So what does that mean, James?
It just means we're better than the Southern League.
There we go. That's a direct response to Gavin Kaner at the Eastern Daily Press, who said, from King's Lynn perspective, I think the football's better in the South. Well, there you go. Anyway, now, the tightest affair on Tuesday night's replays was Whitley Bay against Matlock Town, and it finished 3-3, and Whitley Bay won on penalties by 4-2. Matlock have got to be a bit unhappy about that, haven't they?
They've got to be, especially as Whitley Bay were down to 10 men for the majority of the second half and extra time as well.
I mean,
a lot of people seem to forget that Whitley Bay are a very, very strong side in the Northern League. As Swampy will say every week, week in, week out on the regular podcast. So, to be honest, that was a bad draw for Matlock regardless. And I think someone pointed out on the last one that...
It was Swampy.
Struggled there.
Swampy said Whitley Bay were going to win. So there we go. Those are the replays. So congratulations to Stamford, certainly. Skelmersdale United, Rush Olympic, and Bamber Bridge for getting through, and commiserations to the Northern Premier League sides who got knocked out. But you can focus on the league now. Right, so Saturday's matches, some teams who also made it through. Congratulations to Bursko. I'm going to suggest that was a very good result, that, against Alsager Town away from home, winning by 2-1, 2 goals from Liam Caddick.
Yeah, Caddick's starting to pick up a bit of form in the First Division North as well. I think it's like his third game in a row that he's scoring. Bursko, obviously not in the sense necessarily the strongest team in the First Division North. Alsager's have a very, very good start in the counties.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Gibbo is worrying about playing them in the next couple of weeks as an Atherton Colliers fan.
Okay.
So
Barwell 4, Westfields 1. A good result, that, for Barwell there. Basford United 1, Long Eaton United 0. Congratulations to Basford United. And Belper Town 1, Dunkirk 3. That's... you know anything about Dunkirk?
I know there was a battle there once, but that's about it.
Brighouse Town 0, Newton Aycliffe 2. The good news is, if you're a Brighouse Town fan, is you've had a cracking start to the season and you don't fall into this Warrington trap of having to play catch-up now, that, you know, they can literally concentrate on the league and focus on that good start they've had.
Indeed, until next month when the trophy starts, but that's another story.
Now, at this moment in time, I'm just going to click match centre next to this just to see if anyone got sent off. Just a second. I think we all know the match I'm talking about. Match centre, did anyone get sent off? No, it doesn't look like anyone did. Buxton 2, Ramsbottom United 1. Well, going to form.
Yeah, exactly. Ramsbottom unhappy there because obviously that's money that they needed. For the next couple of weeks. I know it's again concentrating on the league, but a good cup run for them would have been able to just to get just a bit of joy behind them at this moment in time. Unfortunately, it's never to be, and Buxton have gone through, so that's all I can say about that one.
Now, this match we called, we said there could be a giant kill in here, and it's proved the case. Chase Town 3, Grantham Town 0, a hat-trick for Nathaniel Waite, a hat-trick for him. Now, we did call it, and Grantham really have... It's just a miserable start to the season for them, isn't it?
It is indeed. The defence of last year seems to have just faded away. I've not seen most of their transfers last year and see if they've kept the majority of the team. But looking at the next fixture, it's clear to say straight away one of them's definitely gone. So I think it's a change of the guard there that no one seems to realise has gone on. And it's affected Grantham massively.
And just to put that fixture, that result in perspective, Chase Town are currently 16th in Division 1 South, and they've actually only scored 5 goals in 7 matches. Yeah. So it's not like they were high scoring or anything like that. So you're probably right. Something has gone on there, clearly, and hopefully Grantham could turn it around. Clipston Welfare 1, Lincoln United 2. A good result there for Lincoln United. Now, this was a big match we called up on last week's show. We said this was a big game, and the crowd proved it. 902 there. Darlington 1883-1. Hyde United 3. And a good result for Hyde, that.
Something that they needed as well.
Yes.
And I think Mr. Berkey is still celebrating at this moment in time.
Did he even go? I don't think he even went, did he?
He didn't even go. No. He was listening to official Dialor radio or whoever was doing 26-0 that day. But he was still in the Stalybridge Railway pub at this moment in time celebrating.
Fair enough.
That's what I heard. So fantastic result that for the Hyde anyway.
Drolsden 2, Ossett Albion 1. A good result there. 2 goals from Stephen Hall. Hales Owen Town 2, Micklover Sports 1. Anything to add on that one? That was always going to be in. Anyone could win that one, really.
Yeah, exactly. Two teams next to each other. It's hard to say. I mean, any game in the FA Cup, you've got to expect it is a 50-50 flip of a coin. You never know what. It's obviously one shot games. Any team on the day could win it. But Hales are winning, a good little win. I think they've got to play each other in the league in the next couple of weeks as well.
Yes.
So.
Ilkeston 2, Rugby Town 3. We said Rugby Town, out of the new sides in Division 1 South, had had the sluggish of starts, currently second from bottom. But what a game that must have been.
Yeah, fantastic start for their new manager at Rugby Town as well. Ilkeston, again, one of the teams you expect to at least win one or two games in the competition. Going out at the first hurdle, pretty much. Good attendance for that as well, 4-17. Rugby Town, I said it was 7 on the trot, I believe, in
yes.
The Division 1 South. So
now, Kendal Town, they had no Shields in the last round, didn't they? Which was a tough game, and they demolished Dunstan on Saturday, winning by 5-2. 2 goals there for Jordan Connerton in that one. Good result, that, for Kendal Town. and Frickley Athletic, but they went to Maltby Main and won by 2-0. Frickley Athletic, I'm going to suggest to you, are going to do all right this year.
They are going to do very well this season.
Marine 2, Clitheroe 0. We jokingly suggested that one was going to be 0-0, and both sides were going to win 0-0 in response to a message we had last week. But Marine through to the next round. Congratulations to them. We said Market Drayton Town against Kettering was going to be a tricky match for Market Drayton. Kettering in the Southern League, they're in the lower half. I think they're about 16th, but it's Kettering Town. And we said last week that they were going to feel the effects of like what Northwich Victoria's gone through in the FA Cup, that the press suddenly start knocking on the door and that kind of thing. So there's an extra incentive there to do well. And Market Drayton Town 0, Kettering Town 5.
There's always going to be one fairy tale story in the FA Cup, and I think that's what Kettering's going to do.
Padiham 0, Lancaster City 2. That could have been a tricky match for Lancaster, but they've navigated it quite well. Although both goals came on 66 and 83 minutes, so it might not have been as clear cut as Lancaster might have hoped, but I wasn't there, so who knows. Spalding United 1, Nantwich Town 0. That's an upset, isn't it?
It is indeed. Yeah, Spalding, again, I think they would just want to flex the muscles because they're still going strong from after last season as well in the Division 1 South.
Spennymoor Town, we just mentioned Nantwich Town, that perhaps being a bit of an upset. Spennymoor Town 2, Blyth Spartans 1 is certainly an upset. Or is it?
Yeah, two Northern teams going to each other. So, and they both got a very similar style of play, I reckon. But Blyth, after the start they've had in the league, they're the first to beat the season against the lower opposition. Okay, they had the FA Cup run last year, and maybe the magic always seems to go against them the season after. I mean, look at Warrington from last season as well. You never know. Blyth match, they've already got the money in the bank for the season. They'll be looking to win the league now.
That was going to be my next question. I mean, let me put it this way. Out the FA Cup now, Blyth Spartans, Darlington and Nantwich. Still in is Buxton and Frickley, and potentially Salford, we don't know at this moment in time. But there's definitely an advantage if you're after the league title or promotion in not being in the FA Cup this early on, is there? Is that sacrilege I've just done there?
As much as I hate to admit it, because obviously I still believe the magic of the FA Cup is still there, but for teams in the far north, so, and I'm going to include Buxton with this as well, when it comes to later on in the season, getting the games they want playing now will come as an advantage. It's someone else's turn, I reckon.
Stratford Town of the Southern League, they've not had a good start in the Southern League, but that said, they should be beating Colville Town. So congratulations to Colville Town, who went to Stratford Town and beat them by 2-0. Colville have had a superb start to the season, and that's a superb result.
Indeed.
Sutton Coldfield Town have gone out to Oakby Town by 1-0. Tividale got beat by Stourbridge by 1-0. I don't think that's a surprise. The Sutton Coldfield one, though, where are Oakby? Do you know anything about Oakby?
Oakby are now the lowest ranked team left in the competition.
Right.
However, looking at the draw for the next round, probably Sutton Coldfield might count the blessing, seeing as they've got Solihull Moor, who are currently top of the Conference North, I believe, by about 5 points.
Yeah, we don't talk about the Conference North on this show. It's after the Fylde result last night, we don't talk about that. Anyway, hello Fylde if you're listening, and FC if you're listening to. What was I going to say then? But then again, we mentioned the fact that it's an advantage being out the FA Cup if you're chasing the title. If your aim is to stay in the league, then Sutton Coldfield, that might be a blessing too.
Might be a blessing, but again, if you're struggling in the league, the cup form can sometimes roll alongside it, I reckon. So obviously you're just to keep developing players, really. Obviously, Sutton Coldfield, we've said over and over again, they're requiring a home form, but they don't seem to be doing it at the moment.
An old Division 1 North affair, Witten Albion 2, Farnsley Celtic 1. No real surprise that Farnsley's had a bit of a iffy start to the league. And lastly, on Saturday, Workington 5, Colwyn Bay 0. 3 penalties in that match and a 90th minute goal for Workington. Have you got much... Oh, and a hat-trick for Scott Allison due to the 3 penalties. Have you got much to say on this one? Do you know any further details?
I don't know enough details on the Workington game. The Workington fans have been a bit quiet.
And lastly, We hold our hands up here if we make a mistake. And last week we made a mistake. We didn't mention this fixture because I didn't see it, okay, on the website. Now, on Friday night, even though the BBC covered it and all that, Northwich Victoria 4, AFC Blackpool 0. So congratulations to Northwich Victoria. And we were saying about Kettering, Northwich Victoria as well, as proven just by the first qualifying round, the press are going to be covering Northwich Victoria's run in the FA Cup if they go further, aren't they?
I believe so. Obviously, another FA Cup tradition coming back there, following the team all the way to Wembley. There's going to be, obviously, Alan Alcott will be rubbing his hands as well because it's good coverage for the league.
Just to say as well, in the previous years, there's been this thing where we've had to compete with the likes of Southern League sides. Division 1 South have really played a blinder against Southern League sides in this round. So congratulations to those clubs. Because that doesn't happen every year, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I mean, looking at the next round draw as well, there's obviously we're going to have at least 7 teams in the third qualifying round, potentially 8 or 9 with replays going through tonight. But looking at the draws, 6 of them are going to be First Division sides as well.
Right.
Which you don't see very often. We could even have in the next round all the Premier League sides out.
Anyway, up the Northern Premier League. Disclaimer alert, if you listen to the Southern Football League show as well, I'm going to be a totally different person. I'm backing that horse, just so you know. But I'm impartial. Dudes and Sports Cup preliminary round. Just going to throw that one in because we said we would a couple of weeks ago on the MPL show. Why do we have a preliminary round in the Dudes and, do you know?
Because there's 68 teams we can't have 68 teams in the first round.
That's right. It's pure maths, folks. And unfortunately, these are the sides who were in the preliminary round. Bamber Bridge against New Mills was postponed. When's that going to take place then? In a couple of weeks?
It's now beginning of next month.
I'm
kind of hoping it's be next week because I don't really want to play in the league at the moment.
Belper Town 3, Rugby Town 4. Again, Rugby. Even though second from bottom, they're doing stuff.
And they had 2 wins on the trot, and then the new manager's obviously only just come in recently. So he's going to have a bit of a good tempo going behind the team at this moment in time.
Shore Lane Aquaforce 4, Sheffield FC 1. Bit of a derby, that one. And congratulations to Shore Lane getting through. And Tividale 2, Stafford Rangers 2. Stafford Rangers winning 4-1 on penalties. We'll cover the dude soon on the Evo Stick NPL show. At the end of the month?
December, possibly.
Yes?
No, because the first round's not in until November.
All right, we'll leave it then. But congratulations to those teams who've made it through. We've got your eye on the dudes, and don't worry, we've got your back. And good luck to everyone being drawn in the FA Cup and taking part in that.
The next round's on the 26th. Good luck to everyone on that day.
Anyway, we'll be covering that on next week's Evo Stick Extra, those next round ties. But James, anything else to add before we depart and I can go downstairs and watch the bake-off?
Yeah, no problem. I'll say, first of it, looking at the First Division North, the goal scoring records are continuing there this week. 25 goals on Saturday, wow, including Prescott Cables getting a 7-1 win. So that's fantastic.
Wow.
And that's Boro as well.
Whoa. Breaking news. How much did Prescott Cables win?
7-1 against New Mills, who after the match, I think...
The manager left, didn't
they? The manager left straight after that game. And five different scorers as well. Prescott Cables has just got a lot of players in recently. So
they've got a new manager, haven't they? From Skem. The assistant manager at Skem moved over. So. Yeah. You never know, Prescott Cables might be doing something this year, after all.
To make it even weirder as well, New Mills has got a new manager this week in the form of the Invincibles from Wythenshawe Town, so you never know what could happen at the bottom end of the table just yet. I mean, if Radcliffe are winning, come on, that's the biggest worry of all.
Don't bring your Cheshire League stuff here. We're not interested. Anyway, James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. How can people get involved and criticise you on Facebook?
facebook.com/groups/MPL, on Twitter at the MPL group, on Periscope, periodically. We're not on it this week, but we will be again soon. And also, if people wouldn't mind, a good little nod for us in the FPA blogging wards would be nice. We're not expecting much as the group, but you never know.
Hey, we're expecting a podcast award, though, at least a nomination.
Indeed we are.
If you can nominate 26-0, blimey. Right, so, sorry, Berkey and friends. James Hayes, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
There you go, I did remember. Flowers are in the post, but probably dead by the time they arrive. Anyway, James Hayes from the Evo Stick NPL Facebook group, thanks for joining us on this week's show. And to discuss Whitby Town and this weekend's fixtures, there's only one place we could turn to, really. It's Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. Now, we're recording this on Wednesday evening, and unfortunately, you're about to set off in 15 minutes for the Turnbull Ground to play Salford City, so we don't know the result. But you are down the bottom, and this weekend, who have you got this weekend? Just remind us all.
Long trip to Sutton Coldfield, Ben. First ever trip there, so looking forward to it. Hopefully it won't live up to its name completely. Hopefully we can do something there. But it's been, I think it's 8 games without a win now, league-wise, so very worrying.
We've had the FA Cup, obviously, and it's back to league matters now, and so we're going to go through these fixtures one by one. And there's another side up in the northeast, your neck of the woods, who have done really well at the start of the season, Blyth Spartans, and they too are going to the West Midlands on Saturday. They've got an away trip to Stourbridge. Firstly, your thoughts on Blyth Spartans and the way they've started?
Yeah, well, we've faced both these sides in the first two games, actually. Blyth superb, have always got that attacking quality, haven't they? We've seen them so many times. Robbie Dale, the class that he has. He also got Dan Maguire up there, and also Aaron Weirmouth, who big, tall, powerful, and also very skillful. So they've got so much forward quality there. You look at the defence and you wonder whether they're going to hold out quite so well as the forwards have. But I think they're just loving the ride at the moment at the top. And I suspect they'll be in and around that top five or six for the season. I mean, it's a northeast 1-2 at the moment, isn't it, with Darlington there. And we saw Stourbridge first up. I don't necessarily think that's the true Stourbridge that they lost 4-0 at Whitby after all the problems getting to that game. But they are struggling so far this season, and a little bit inconsistent. They do score goals, though. They're also quite fond of conceding them.
There was a comment we all made at the season preview was about the start that Stourbridge could make and if they were going to make some waves this season. And we spoke to Adam Parks down there at the bridge, and he was like, well, I'm not too sure they'll make the playoffs, but they've slowly started to move up the table, as you say.
Yeah, well, they've got quality there. I mean, they can, with everybody fit and available, make an impact. And also, you know, the age-old thing is just about Blyth's longest trip of the season. And I'm sure that's going to make a difference. I've been on a bus to Stourbridge just from Whitby. And it's, it can be draining. A bit of cramp going on, a bit of deep vein thrombosis.
Now, another team doing well from up your neck of the woods is Darlington 1883, and they're hosting Hyde United. Firstly, what a time to be alive in the Northumberland area at this moment in time.
Indeed. Well, for Blyth fans, certainly. Darlington might not thank you for saying they're in Northumberland.
I meant the historical county of Northumberland. I'm going down to Sheffield there with that one.
Nice one.
Thank you.
You're going 1600.
That's right.
Like this.
There we go. That's my history A-level coming out there, folks. Go on now.
There you go. I'd like to think so, yeah. A revenge attempt for Darlington, because of course Hyde dumped them out of the FA Cup last Saturday, so crazy that they're both back at the same place, and hopefully for Darlington they can overturn that. Never know what to expect from Hyde, Ben. Such an inconsistent side. They can win away at one of the top sides one week and look absolutely abject and lose at one of the bottom sides the next. So I'm not going to try and predict this one. I'm sorry. I'm going to sit firmly on the fence.
Now, obviously, we've got Hyde, a 19th at the moment. Colwyn Bay, who also came out of the Conference North last season, are in 20th. We'll cover Colwyn Bay at the moment. But it's a question I pretty much asked every single show. Are you surprised with how those two have settled in? They're kind of doing a Workington at this moment in time, I think.
Yeah, it's silly. But the league's full of teams that are down the bottom, and people are playing them against their team and saying, no, they're not that bad. They're not that bad.
Hello, Whitby.
Yeah, there you go. It's just so tough to... We're so early in the season, aren't
yes.
we? This league table is probably not going to bear too much resemblance to the one that we see in May. But I think, you know, Hyde and Colwyn Bay, I think even just by virtue of those long trips, and I'm sure some of them favours Whitby sometimes as well, those long trips over to Wales, Colwyn Bay are going to pick up a lot of points at home, you would think, this season. I'm sure they'll be fine.
Now, my fear is that if I keep mentioning this side, because I plan on doing this show for another 20 years or so, if I keep mentioning this side to win the league, that one year I will be correct. And Buxton, currently, are third. And they've got a tricky trip, I feel, to Michelover Sports, who settled into the league quite well.
Yeah, proper derby there, isn't it? In Derbyshire. Michelover have done a little bit better, really, than a lot of people expected, myself included. You look at the team that come up from the First Division North, the Salford City and the Darlington, you think they're going to do so much better than the teams up from the First Division South. You wonder if they'll do a belper and come straight back down. But no, they're showed a bit of grit, haven't they? I think Sutton Coldfield have been the same in recent games too. They're starting to find their feet. So no, it won't be an easy one for Buxton, that short trip over to Michelover Sports. Got an ex-Whitby in there as well with Niall Doran. And lots of quality there at Buxton. They've started well, haven't they?
Well, Nantwich Town are in fourth. They too have had a very good start. If we talk about their goal scoring record at this moment in time, they've got the best goal scoring record in the league with scoring 23 goals. They also have one of the worst defences. Obviously, thank God for Ramsbottom and Stamford. But it's one of the worst defences, conceding 17 goals. Nantwich are good value for money, and they'll be hosting Grantham Town, who at this moment in time are not doing very well.
No, indeed. Second bottom, Grantham. Just looking at the table and seeing that Whitby have a defence every bit as bad as Nantwich is. It's strange. Good value for money, isn't it, going to Nantwich? 40 goals in 8 games. Great side. You don't know what to expect from them. They'll always give you a chance at the back, having seen them. A topsy-turvy game at the Turnbull that I saw that ended 3-3. Nantwich with 10 men came back from 2-1 down at half-time and then managed to throw one away right at the end. So goodness knows, they're going to be fun to watch this season. Whether they're going to actually last the pace, that's another question.
And the key thing is Grantham are one of the only sides, apart from Ramsbottom, to not have won a game this season yet. So that's home or away. So it's going to be an interesting one for Grantham. They've got to pull a result out of the hat somewhere, haven't they?
Yeah, that's it. And I think we've seen them maybe do this before, go for they either have a halcyon start and you think everything's going to go well, and then they have an awful start and money's taken out and they just stabilise and stay where they are. And I don't know what's happened at Grantham. I don't want to speculate on that. All I can say is Nantwich, I think Grantham are going to have their hands forward, the likes of Matty Cossillo leading the line there and Lewis Short. There's a lot of very good forwards for Nantwich.
Well, we've just had an interview with Frickley Athletic. Frickley Athletic have not performed in the way many people have expected. Lazy pundits, I call those people, Frickley fans. And they're hosting Halesowe in Town on Saturday. They've not really missed Gavin Allett, have they, at all?
No, indeed. I think, colour me a lazy pundit as well, without Gav Allett, they'd struggle too. Good to see the other Wee Yorkshire team doing well. Tough one against Halesowe, who were having a difficult time, I think, this season. But Frickley, they've got some really good, lively players. I think it's Williams who plays on the right-hand side. He's a real pacey young player. And you've got Zeph Thomas up front. They have got some quality, and without in the least bit wanting to be patronising to them, they are playing a little bit more football this season. They're looking to play a bit more of a proper passing game, and they were good to watch when Whitby played them. They look decent this season.
Salford City have it's another running theme that we've said on this show, and I apologise to people for getting fed up with us saying this, but Salford have not had a bad start to the season, and they are hosting Rushall Olympic on Saturday. However, everyone said this, they've not won at Moor Lane this season.
No, indeed, and glad to say they hadn't won after last Saturday's FA Cup tie either. They're it's only a matter of time, and maybe Rushall will be the unlucky ones. They create so much, and they created so much when I saw them as well last week. They've got a lot of strong players, experienced players that have been at this level for a long time. I mean, Richie Allen was at Fleetwood recently. He's a quality player going forward. They've got a lot of talented players. Jordan Hume was at Buxton recently too. So it's only a matter of time before Salford get that first home win. It might well be on Saturday, but knowing Richard Snake is Rushall's side, he may well not be.
It seems like this next team are constantly in seventh position. Workington against Barwell on Saturday. Workington have they've started to move again after having a bit of a sluggish start. But Barwell have proved again that they're going to be a side to be reckoned with, really, this season, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They always are, aren't they, Barwell? And two teams, really, that you really don't relish taking on. They're big, strong sides, well-organised, and it's a tough one for anybody going up to work. It's probably no coincidence that they're still unbeaten at home. But Barwell have a superb away record as well. Just one defeat for them, three wins. Long journey for them, though, over to Cumbria. Probably some snow there, I expect, by now. It'll be interesting to see. Good to see Workington from their perspective coming back a little bit as well. But I did fear for them at the start of the campaign. I think they lost Gavin Skelton, the player manager, over the summer. So had to rejig things and get the new players gelling. But obviously, lots of them followed the manager out of the club. And it looks like they're starting to come back. And I know what you mean. Barwell do seem to be seventh perpetually.
Ashton United are hosting Skelmersdale United. Skelmersdale came straight out of the blocks. And as Swampy put it last week, have now turned into a normal club who don't go straight out of the blocks and try and win the league in November. They have the ups and the downs, but they're just playing some good football. Ashton United, though, have not got out of the blocks at all at this moment in time.
Yeah, strange one. But Ashton are normally exactly like Skem. They have a great start, and then Hyde and Stalybridge decide that they're like these impressive players they've had early season and take them off them. It just seems that Ashton haven't done that. But again, having seen them, again, it's only a matter of time. They have got some very, very good players. Look out for the lads out wide. Got Adam Morning, who was at Woodley Sports, and Haney as well. Chris Haney, I think it is, on the other side. And They've both got shift heads as well, reminding me of sort of Right Said Fred with the two on the either side. And Chris Bagley as well in the midfield. Lots and lots of quality there for Ashton. They're another one who's in a bit of a false position. They won't be down there for long.
Matlock Town have had a very good start to the season as well. And they're hosting Colwyn Bay, who we mentioned before, have pretty much had the same similar start to their relegation partners, Hyde United, this season. What do you think of Matlock Town's start, though?
Matlock, yeah, we played them earlier on in the campaign. They were fortunate to get a late winner, I thought. I think he had 0-0 written all over it. Unspectacular, hard working though, good side, well drilled. God, I hate having to keep saying the cliche, but Colwyn Bay, long trip over to Derbyshire. And you fancy Matlock. If they are going to do it, you know, it'll be a 1-0 or a 2-1. They'll fight and battle it to 3 points.
So Sutton Coldfield Town are the visitors to Whitby Town on Saturday. We did cover it off briefly earlier, but we should give it some justice. Sutton Coldfield Town and Micklehover Sports, both coming out of Division 1 South. We know what these lazy pundits say, like Danny Mills, for example, and Burke. They say, you know, that Division 1 South isn't as strong as Division 1 North. But Sutton Coldfield Town have done the better out of the two sides who've come up. And again, another force to be reckoned with. So how do you think you're going to get on this weekend?
Ben, I'll just be happy if I can find the ground and my sat nav last that long, having to get up at goodness knows what time. If I'm on the bus about 6 a.m, no doubt, knowing our chairman. I think they're quite a strong side, Sutton Coldfield, physically. We will see. We'll be overdue a win in the league. They haven't won in the league since the opening day of the season against Stourbridge, as I mentioned. Sutton Coldfield, they've still got that momentum of a team recently promoted. I think it'll be a tough assignment for Whitby.
Now, earlier we mentioned high-scoring Nantwich Town. Let's go to the other extreme, Marine. Marine are currently 17th and have scored 7 and conceded 6, and that's in 8 games. They really are the 0-0 specialists at this moment in time. And on Saturday, they have got the daunting task of hosting Ilkeston. Ilkeston, though, have that team too, are starting to slowly move up the table.
Yeah, slow and steady, isn't it? It's Ilkeston, and it surprised me at the start of the season, because a lot of people sort of tipped them to do well. Saw them last season under Kevin Wilson, they did well. They had a good young side. Kevin Wilson's left, he's gone to Nuneaton, and he's taken a lot of the players with him. And surprise, surprise, they're struggling now this time around. Yes, a little bit more consistency in the last week or two. But Marine, how solid are they? They did great the opening day of the season. Awful pre-season. Got a 0-0 draw with Salford. Went to Salford and stopped them from scoring. So, yeah, maybe not one for those desperate for goals. It's solid, and even though you might say you don't get your money's worth necessarily at Marine with the lack of goals, I disagree. Any food eatery place that's called the Scouse House, that's got to be worth it for the pun alone.
And one of the matches of the day, in my humble opinion, it's the last game we're going to cover. It's Stamford against Ramsbottom United. Have I got that the right way around? Yes, I have. And Stamford, we've said, they've scored 21 goals in 7 matches, conceded 25. But I don't think conceding goals is going to be a problem, because they've got Ramsbottom United and they've only scored 3 goals in their 8 matches. However, Darlington fans last week said, They don't understand how Rami are down the bottom. I think they've started to find a bit of form on the pitch, even though it's not shown any results yet.
Yeah, we've played both these teams. Agree with you. Ramsbottom, good team. Played on the break, very smart. Pressure the team in possession. Work really, really hard. Maybe against a big physical side, they'll struggle. Stamford are a big physical side. They've got the quality of Ryan Robbins leading the line. And you can see why they've scored so many goals. Equally, if Ramsbottom can get in behind them, get down those wings, then they might well get a few goals themselves. 46 goals in 7 games involving Stamford. Goodness me, that's even my GCSE maths tells me that's more than 6 goals a game. It could go either way, that one. And it's third bottom against bottom. So a boom, bang, a bang affair, as you would say.
And Andrew Snaith, that's your lot for today. We wish you all the best going up to the Turnbull Ground tonight for the FA Cup replay. A replay which we called in last week's Evo Stick Extra, by the way. We did say you were going to take them back in a replay. But would you like to plug the commentary for this weekend against Sutton Coldfield?
Absolutely, my pleasure. Yeah. Whitby-town.com. Just Google search the Whitby website. Follow the links from there up in the top corner. Whitby Town Radio. We will be live from Sutton Coldfield, if the wire stretched that far, down the wilds of the West Midlands. And please feel free to tune in, myself and whoever I can drag down to the depths of the Midlands.
Nice one, Andy, and all the best.
And now for your correspondence. George Wathwell has been in touch to say Darlington versus Hyde. He's put that in capitals, I'm assuming, because he's a Hyde supporter. We won in the FA Cup there last week, and it's a tough team and place to go. So I don't think it will be easy to win there 2 weeks running. So hoping for a draw at least to get some points. Scott Dewhurst has been in touch to say, I reckon we're playing Stourbridge. Thank you, Scott. Mark Joyce has been in touch to say Bucks are at Micklover. Can we continue from our last league win at Stamford, as the performance in the cup battle v Rame was pedestrian-like? Ooh. So, hoping for the Bucks to at least come out of second gear, get into maybe third or fourth gear, as I fear someone is going to get a hammering in one of the games we play, if the forwards can get on fire. Michael J. Holland, Marine versus Ilkeston. Looking forward to it, as the game last year had a bit of an edge to it. Ooh. Phil Lindley has been in touch to say, I shall feel some trepidation at Matlock Town on Saturday, who are home to Colwyn Bay. We need a good performance and a win. Ian Lummis has been in touch to say, Gresley welcome Shaw Lane to the Moat. Need to kickstart our home form after 3 consecutive away wins in the league. Team beginning to settle and gain confidence. So with the chase here midweek, it's a big chance to define our season. David James has been in touch to say Salford City away for Rushall. Forget the game, I want a picture with Paul Scholes and Nicky Butt. Trevor Oakley, a significant improvement in performance from Darlington. We were poor last Saturday. And Lloyd Berry. Oh, I can't say that, Lloyd. That's swearing. But basically what he's saying is he's going to get, Merry, as they travel to Bridlington. That's for Warrington. Hope for the same as last year.
a win. Mike Smith, Moslet needs to break their four-match losing streak. Playing Prescott, who only last Saturday broke their losing streak, banging in seven past hapless New Mills. It'll be a confidence thing, no doubt. Indeed. And finally, Scott Dewhurst, who you might remember earlier, got in touch to say, I reckon we're playing Stourbridge. Well, he's been back in touch to confirm his own post. Just checked, we are, he called it. And thank you, Scott, for your correspondence. And thank you, dear listener, for your correspondence as well. And that, dear listener, concludes this week's wall of correspondence. Tune in next week for a whole new wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. And that, dear listener, concludes this week's Evo Stick Extra. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Thank you to all my guests this week, in particular Gareth Dando from Frickley Athletic and, of course, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. And, while we're thanking people, James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at facebook.com/groups/the NPL. Remember, you can follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. I've been Ben Hughes, and that's it for this week. So wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.